It's good advice there, Deb. Go on through the car. Just make sure there's nothing you don't want somebody else.
I know I'm going to be doing it. You never know what the dogs will find.
Or what the kid, you had to grab the kid's car for the day.
Was this a lollipop?
I was thinking other things.
The dog goes after the french fries that you dropped. On the. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think the dog's interested in the french fries.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
CNN said, quote, nothing less than Biden's hopes of a second term will be on the line. NBC and ABC called it a make or break. Turned out it was sort of neither.
He took a wide range of questions, complicated issues, did fairly well in all of that. But I think nothing changes the bottom line. And that is that many Democrats think he just can't win in November and there needs to be a change.
ABC's Jonathan Carl from Washington on reviews of the president's hour-long news conference with international media Thursday night. The thing is, you put it in sports terms, it was a must-win for the president. A tie wasn't going to be good enough. And he started the game running behind.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
President Putin.
You can beat President Putin.
President wrapping his comments at the close of the three-day NATO summit in Washington, mistakenly introducing President of Ukraine Volodymyr Zelensky as President Putin. Early in his news conference, then he was asked whether he had confidence in Vice President Kamala Harris, if indeed she would end up the party's nominee for president.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
Well, let's start here. Let's point out there's a difference between a gaffe and not knowing where you are.
And he's always been gaffe prone, right?
Isn't every politician to some degree, but that was a tag on then-Senator Biden when he was asked to be the vice presidential nominee, right? And as is pointed out frequently on our WTMJ talk and text line, former President Trump famous for it as well.
Oh, yeah.
So what's interesting is that vice president stumble in the news conference that came after a particularly sharp moment for the president.
Reuters is reporting tonight that UAW leadership is concerned about your ability to win.
UAW just endorsed me, but go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, they actually just endorsed me. So no, but go ahead with your question. So like that was a good moment of a sharp response. He had other good moments in the news conference. Here he is on NATO leaders and their confidence in him.
I've not had any of my European allies come up to me and say, Joe, don't run. What I hear them say is, you've got to win. You can't let this guy come forward. It'd be a disaster.
So I look at it, Ed, like, were this news conference not his first in 8 months of this type and variety? Not following the disastrous debate performance and not while members of his own party are openly questioning his fitness to govern. It's just kind of run-of-the-mill news conference. Yeah. Might not even have gotten that much attention. But ABC's Mary Alice Parks in Washington, she says Democrats after that she's talking with needed it to be better.
Many Democrats are telling me it was just not enough. That fair or unfair, the expectation, the need from him today was to be pitch perfect. And right off the bat, we saw him stumble. There were moments where he did seem to still sort of trail off. And other Democrats telling me they just didn't think it was enough to calm the fears from constituents and from voters that they have been hearing.
President would be campaigning in Michigan today. NBC News promoting a one-on-one with President Biden and nightly news anchor Lester Holt to air on Monday. Sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The T-shirts read Undaunted. After the Brewers got their clock cleaned by the Pirates on Tuesday night, Pat Murphy passed those T-shirts out to the entire team. Undaunted, they read. It worked because the Brewers would win Game 2 in the series 9-0. After Thursday, what do you do? What should those shirts read after that performance?
1-0. Frelick, ground ball, left side. Hayes has it and throws him out. 7 no-hit innings. From Paul Skeens. Man, that was easy.
Enough. Tired of the boat horn.
I had read that shirts today are slightly more daunted.
A hint just of slightly. Daunt.
Just a little bit of daunt in there now.
A daunt lean. Seven innings, no hits, 11 strikeouts, one walk for Paul Skeens. We told you he was good. Now, the Brewers did get some hits after they pulled him. After seven, he was tired. He'd thrown 99 pitches. The crew would leave the bases loaded, though, in the eighth and ultimately fall 1-0. So why did Pirates manager Derek Shelton take Skeens out?
Didn't have anything to do with the pitch count. Everybody makes it about pitch counts. It was about where he was at. It was about, you know, trusting your eyes, trusting him. When I went and talked to him after that, I mean, he was tired. They did a good job of wearing him down. And, I mean, he gave us everything he had.
Up next... It was a shame, though, because Brewers starter Aaron Civale looked really good.
Oh, by the way, had a great game.
I mean, he threw a gem. And they just traded for this guy. I mean, it looks like they got another steal. Traded for him from the Rays. And I'm glad we got him. But, yeah, it's unfortunately, he just ran into a buzzsaw in Skeensy. Up next for the crew, they play the Nationals, of course. Nationals final weekend series here before the All-Star break starting tonight right here on WTMJ.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Well, apparently we really like practice in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay Packers reporting parking for family night at Lambeau Field is already sold out. Only limited tickets remain even for the event, which is a public practice for our team. They're going to virtually sell out Lambeau Field to watch practice.
Yep.
August 3rd of this year, a Saturday night as per usual. Doors for the event open at 5:30. Team takes the field for warm-ups about 7 p.m. and then practice at 7:30. Fireworks to conclude. Taking my family twice. What I love about it is it's a great entry level.
Yeah.
If you want to get the kids up to Lambeau Field and not pay
get a taste.
$150, $200 for a ticket, right, for a regular game, just get them up there. There's fireworks. It's fun.
And they put on a good show, and too, right?
Very
good
show.
It's fun to see all the Packers running around.
So not many tickets left for family night coming up August 3rd.
Hey, coming up right after traffic and weather. 25 years ago, this happened. The ground shook. We look back. Happened in Milwaukee. Sunday marks 25 years since this happened.
What the hell is it? What's going on here? Okay, watch it!
Big Blue. Remember that? Big Blue. The enormous crane that was used to hoist those large portions of the Miller Park roof into place came crashing to the ground. It was 5 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon in July, 25 years ago.
I was still working in Green Bay then, and I remember just what a big story that was, obviously, up there. I later covered the trial.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Milwaukee, and just something that... both figuratively and literally shook this community.
Yeah, I remember seeing the big plume of dust because I was reporting traffic and my window was actually facing west. So I saw a huge plume. I'm like, guys, there's something going on over at Miller Valley.
Yeah.
So, that was crazy.
Debbie Lazga on the air. Also, former WDTMJ traffic reporter Tom Carr was in the air. He did your job, Debbie, from a plane.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Pilot would fly him around over the interstate to report on the roads. He was near 894 when it happened.
And I heard the sheriff's dispatcher say, we have a report of a roof collapse at Miller Park. And you could tell the tenseness in her voice. And I looked to my left, and all you could see was smoke in the air where the stadium was. And so I told my partner, let's get back there. And we just throttled the airplane and got there as quickly as we could.
And they immediately popped him on the greenhouse.
Tom, what do you got for us?
Actually, it's not a traffic report.
Oh, okay.
It's a Miller Park report. Part of the new roof has collapsed. The dust is now clearing. I'm just making my way around the stadium area right now. Looks like what possibly happened is a part that was hanging from the crane has dropped. It has dropped on top of the new...
Yeah, so he saw it there down. He could see that this was a major problem.
You could tell right away because you could see the crane crumpled over the side of the stadium. You could see where the stadium had crumbled down at that point. People running around, and you just looked at it and you saw this is not a good situation.
And you knew that everything was going to be different at that moment. ABC Sherry Preston worked for WTMJ Radio at the time. Everyone remembers Sherry on the radio here. And she was one of the first ones on the scene. She was basically driving home and immediately zipped over there, saw the crew members, and grabbed one of them.
Sir, can you tell me exactly what happened?
Yeah, we had about 600 tons on the hook. We had been swinging it over. We'd been taking our time to put it in place. We were almost ready to go up there and put it together. And the lamps in the big blue crane just started snapping. I don't really know what happened to it. It just started leaning over and fell. It took another crane down with it. I watched three men die.
You watched three men die. What did you see?
Ma'am?
Sorry, what happened?
They were in the other crane in a basket, and the big crane fell on it, took them down.
Yeah. Three iron workers killed. That's the most tragic part about this entire story. Three people killed. Iron workers, Local 8 members. Three men in an observation basket, held up in the air, hundreds of feet in the air by another crane. When Big Blue came down, it clipped that other crane, and they both came down.
Our hearts go out to the families, and we pray for them, and we wish them nothing but the best and sympathies with them.
That's Governor Tommy Thompson there on WTMJ. Now, strong wind gusts would be to blame for this incident. In fact, Tom told me, I talked to Tom Carr, he said he remembers vividly being in the air that morning or that afternoon and saying to the pilot, man, I'm surprised they're doing this today.
They're doing this kind of work, right?
Yeah.
And that was the crux of the whole trial.
Mm-hmm.
Should you have been doing this lift?
Right. And ultimately, there'd be a huge settlement there for the widows of those three. So this happened during the All-Star break. The Brewers were off. The next game would be 2 days later, Friday, against the Royals at Milwaukee County Stadium.
This was not a good day to work, and a very tough day to work, folks. Take my word for it.
It's Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. In my opinion, one of his most remarkable moments on the radio, addressing the tragedy during the entire bottom half of the first inning.
It's even worse being out here than seeing it on television. I am utterly shocked. As I said, sitting here for the last couple of years and watching in amazement and so thrilled at what was taking place, and to come out here and see it in person, I think Jim said it earlier. This was not a good day to work.
Yeah, so you discussed the tragedy throughout the inning. He made it a point to bring up the three iron workers who were killed.
You have to really see it to believe it in person. And for those who lost their lives, Jerome Starr, Jeff Wisher, Bill DeGrave, never will anything replace that. And our deepest and heartfelt sympathies to their family.
So I didn't know this. You talked about how he would see those guys all the time. Not those three specifically, but just in general, he'd see all the construction workers, the iron workers, the men and the women. He said he honked to them all the time, wave at them, holler at them before he'd pull into county.
Believe that, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, buddy. Looking good today.
He'd been in the basket. He went up with Frank Busilaki. He'd been in the basket. He goes, I'm so glad I did that. That basket that was up in the air,
right.
The one that came down, that those three were in. On Sunday, Iron Workers Local 8 will hold a special ceremony at that memorial. They have that statue there outside of AmFam Field, a statue for those three construction workers. It'll take place around 10:15 before the game. And, of course, they will be remembered. The Brewers, obviously, will honor as well on Sunday. 25 years ago. We got a lot more online. You can see the video of that tragedy. Plus, we have the whole first inning, the whole bottom half of the first inning, all 13 minutes of Uke talking about it. And it's almost like therapeutic for him. And I encourage you to listen to it. Text the word crane to the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. Crane to the talk and text line. We'll send you the link. It's got everything in there and a link to Uke's call there in that first inning back at County Stadium.
Coming up about 20 minutes before 7 o'clock here on this Friday morning, we're all going to get through okay. A lot of anxious folks, particularly those who have business around downtown or who are thinking, can I go downtown and go to a restaurant that I like, or...
And by the way, you're going to notice crowds outside of just downtown. We'll get into that later, but I know there's going to be a lot of expectation here in the city, but also outside the city.
We're not putting
well.
50,000 people in downtown in the third ward. They're staying all over southeast yes, Wisconsin, yes. Right? So if you have hotels in your community, maybe near the freeway or wherever, yeah, there's going to be a lot of activity throughout mm-hmm. the entire region. If you do want to navigate downtown, we want to help you through. Debbie Lazica taking a closer look at how the convention will affect folks on the ground in Milwaukee.
Oh, my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Wait. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's the media's Super Bowl and the beginning of the ramp-up for the political system in the U.S. ahead of Election Day, the Republican National Convention. When such high-profile folks as presidential candidates are due to come into town, security becomes a thing. And it's not just locking down buildings, either. It affects everything. Happening at Fiserv Forum, there are a couple of security perimeters affecting everything from buses to pedestrians. There's a soft security zone that's bordered by roughly 9th Street to the west, Cherry Street to the north, the eastern bank of the Milwaukee River to the east, and Clybourne to the south. And within that area, there's a hard security zone surrounding Fiserv Forum, Miller High Life Theater, Panther Arena, and the Baird Center, where you'll actually need security clearance to get in. In fact, our offices for Good Karma Brands located here at the Avenue is within the soft security zone. For us and anyone trying to get into this zone, there will be specific vehicle inspection points. And there are only 5. Michigan and Plankinton, Water and State, 6th and Fleet, 9th and Winnebago, and Wells and 9th. Any other ways to get into the zone will be blocked off. Drivers can expect to be stopped and have their vehicles searched thoroughly by canines and other officers. A good excuse to go through your car and clear it out a bit. Oh, and don't push it. Don't try to get past the checkpoints without following the rules. Delays at these checkpoints are pretty much expected, and the police and Secret Service have a job to do. So follow the instructions so that the checkpoints go quickly and with the least amount of hassle as possible. The vehicle screenings will start on Monday at 2 a.m., and we expect everything to be wrapped up by Saturday the 20th. Check out our website at WTMJ.com for the latest lists and maps of the zones, including parking and how MCTS has adjusted their routes. Debbie Lazaga, WTMJ News.
It's good advice there, Deb. Go on through the car. Just make sure there's nothing you don't want somebody else
I know I'm going to be doing it. You never know what the dogs will find.
Or what the kid, you had to grab the kid's car for the day.
Was this a lollipop?
I was thinking other things.
The dog goes after the french fries that you dropped. Yeah.
I don't think the dog's interested in the french fries. The dog could be interested in other things that people may or may not.
Hey, kids, just want to let you know.
Have in their possession.
Kids, you left the nitroglycerin in the car again.
Hey, son, I know you're out with your friends the other night.
Right.
Can we make sure none of that?
Go ahead and go through the car.
Please.
I got to take that into downtown tomorrow.
Yeah,
not saying, I'm just saying.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
You know whose name we can be done saying and hearing? I'm done with the name, done with the mustache. I'm done with the guy. You know who you know I'm talking about?
Paul Skeens?
Yes, Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens? Yeah.
Done, Skeensy. Done with this guy.
All right, Skeensy.
Man, did he have a day yesterday. Paul Skeens, the Brewers pitcher, threw 7 shutout, no-hit innings against the Crew as the Pirates win 1-0, taking the series. The Crew just could not manage anything from this guy. Threw 99 pitches. The Brewers did get some hits from the reliever afterward. But
well, that's how you... And it was clearly their game plan. Look, this guy's going to get his. Try to extend the count. Try to wear him out as best you can.
And it worked. Pirates manager even said that, hey, they did wear him out. He was tired. That's why we pulled him. What did Skeens think about getting pulled after 7?
Definitely wanted to finish it, but, you know, throwing every 6 days, 5 days, whatever it is now, definitely understand that side of it.
Oh, sayonara, get out of here. So we're done with this guy.
Adios, yeah. Skeensy.
Okay, anyway, Skeensy's gone. Up next, the Nationals at AmFam Field starting tonight here on WTMJ. On Sunday, the MLB draft begins. Brewers have 4 picks in the first round. Their highest is 17th. We talked to Matt Arnold on Thursday here on Wisconsin's Morning News about the upcoming draft.
We try to put as much art and science together to make a good decision every year. I mean, it really is tough, and I think our guys, Todd Johnson and the guys, do a great job pulling the board together. You know, I just usually poke holes and ask a lot of questions along the way.
We did ask him. So who are you picking?
Yeah, tell us exactly your first, just your first 4 guys.
We're gonna shoot for just taking the best player on the board.
All right. We'll have to trust you on that.
The standard general manager answer for every draft in every sport.
Yes.
In the world. Which, that's fine. As a fan, right, I don't need you to tell me. Yeah, Plus, we don't know who any of these people are.
And by the way,
this is not the NFL draft where you're looking at highly touted prospects watched for 4 years in college or whatever. These are teenagers in many cases.
Can we give some of these guys some credit too, Arnold and that team there? I mean, look who pitched for the Crew yesterday. Aaron Civale had a great game, a gem. They just traded for him. No one knew who that guy was a couple of weeks ago. They traded for him from the Rays. They got him. And look at that. Had a gem yesterday. Came up empty, but
Arnold's on his game.
Yes.
Green Bay Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed on Packers social media inviting you to family night.
What's going on, Packers fans? Can't wait to see you guys at family night this year. We're going to put on a show for you guys, and can't wait to see you. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Done this a couple of times with the kids. Tickets just $10, but they're almost gone. Green Packers parking already sold out for the August 3rd event. It's a practice. Some scrimmaging takes place, but basically you're watching practice, but it's a way to get the whole family out to Lambeau Field, affordable at $10 a ticket, fireworks at the end of the night. Highly recommend if you haven't done it. But I was online just the other day, just a few spots left in the lower bowl and some in the highest corner reaches get you in the house. 6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News, bringing our friend and teammate from ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe Neitzel. Why would I wear that? Like, what sort of data am I looking for?
Well, so everyone's got tech stuff now. Everyone's got some kind of... Gabe Neitzel joins us from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did I not say his
ESPN
name?
Milwaukee.
You did, and then and then we dove right into, why am I wearing that? In fairness, could have been directed towards me because I can wear some wild stuff, but we were talking
Eric's hung up on the medical wearable tech that gives you various readouts.
Yes, and everyone seems to have a thing but me, so I keep wondering if maybe I should be wearing something.
So I've thought about it just, and at this point I'm not incredibly active, but I still, you know, still play golf quite a bit, and I know Whoop is the big one that's popular there. I think it's more of an armband. I think Justin Thomas wears one. If you see it, his sleeves are usually a little bit shorter. If he kind of pulls up his sleeve a little bit, you can kind of see the band. That kind of gives you, all the data that you're looking for, and I think from just some of the research I've done or hearing some of the live reads on different podcasts I listen to, the Whoop sounds interesting, but I'm also completely out on it because it gives you like your sleep data and like, oh, this is how rested you are. And this is how, and when you're somebody like me who sometimes finds themselves working past midnight and then I have to turn around and be here for a morning show, like, no, I don't need to know. You don't need to tell me I'm tired. I know that I'm going to be tired.
Bet you anyone listening right now, you're probably a little tired, right?
Well, we were arguing about this, not arguing, but we were having a deep discussion a couple of days ago.
We fought, Gabe.
About NA. So Athletic Brewing is a big...
Does Eric fight like this? Does he see like the old school?
Puts up his dukes.
Yeah, no, puts up, you know.
I grab hair and I fight.
Broke a bottle.
I scratch. I will do anything I have to do.
Dirty fighter. Okay, good to know. But so I thought Vince would be the dirty fighter, but
I
digress.
I'm small.
That's what I thought.
Whatever we have to do, Gabe. But Athletic Brewing is doing very well right now because NA and non-alcoholic beer and whatnot is huge right now. Anyway, I brought up the idea of these wearables because Samsung's out with a whole bunch of new stuff now. Oh, what should you have? This or that, whether it's a ring that tells you how you're sleeping. And my point to Vince was, well, you can see how well you sleep when you don't have alcohol in your system. And his point was, well, why would I want to know that?
I don't want to know that.
Because I want to continue to drink
alcohol. Have my whiskey.
But if you were to, if you, anyone who wears this will tell you that, especially like, you know, no drink January or whatever it's called,
dry January.
That like they'll see like your body attacks itself when you have alcohol in your system when you're trying to sleep. So my point is, do these wearables help with that? Like if you're wearing a watch or if you're wearing a ring, are you able to at least see some things? Blood pressure, whatever it be.
But you asked if Gabe and I like wear it for golf. Like, well, we both play golf.
Yeah,
and I think, I guess there is some helpful information because as a golfer, when you get in pressure situations, you want to keep that heart rate down and whatever. But like, I know when my heart's racing, I know the breathing that you're supposed to do. Like, I don't need extra data to tell me I'm nervous.
That difficult 40-yard little chip over water. Yeah, my heart's going to be pumping a little bit quicker.
All right, okay.
But, I mean, I think all those things are helpful for people who are looking to get healthier. Like, I think I mean, would it help? I'm going to be training for a half marathon again here coming up soon. I'm going to be running the half marathon, the lakefront one again. And as I start that, would this tech probably be helpful for that in understanding recovery time and the best times to run and do things like that? Yeah, I mean, using technology to become healthier. I think if that's what you're looking for, yes, these things could really help. But to Vince's point, if you want to continue to just bury your head in the sand and be like, no, I want my whiskey on Saturday night, then no, I don't want to know.
And I know 5 hours isn't enough sleep. I know this already.
I don't need my Apple Watch to tell me, or a ring
to say, hey, guy, you probably should sleep some more. Okay.
Yeah, and like, again, the benefits
don't tell
are,
me what to do.
Don't boss me, Apple.
You're not my real dad.
Information overload. I should say, for those who have like legit health issues or something like that, where you need to be concerned about that on a regular basis to, you know, stay alive, very helpful.
But again, sure. I think the real purpose of it is you end up seeing the actual, but like, you know, in your head, like, okay, I shouldn't get 5 hours of sleep. You do. But then when you see like the actual data and the benefits of it, it's supposed to influence you to
might
maybe
scare you straight.
Stop making those bad decisions.
Right. I prefer to live in ignorance. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Erase that, Greg.